A foundation is a footing, a base. It's the understructure of a building. You know, when if you were to look for a house, one of the things that they recommend that you look, that you pay close attention to is the foundation, because you don't want a house to have a cracked foundation, because that's just problems for the future. The foundation is the base upon a house is built or is established. The taller the building, the deeper the foundation. Also, you look at the definition of the dictionary, it also says that it's an underlying basis or principle. So the lowest load-bearing part of a building, typically below ground level, you see that, I mean, people building homes, houses all over the place. That's what the foundation is, but it's also, it can be an idea, it can be a principle. When I think about foundation, I think about this idea of worldview. You know, a worldview is the platform upon which you stand to make sense of the world. A worldview is also the lens through which you look at the world to make sense of it. A worldview, we can call it, is a foundation. You see, your perspective is your worldview. The outlook that you have on things in the world, that is your worldview. You see, it becomes your foundation because the worldview is made of beliefs, ideas, just going back to the definition that we learned. You see, when you think about foundation, every nation on earth, institution, movement, country was built on a certain set of beliefs or ideas. That's what's called the foundation. In fact, people that came up with a country, people who came up with that idea, they're called founding fathers because they had the foundation and said, you know, as a nation, we're going to be about this. That's what's called a foundation. You know, like I say, every movement on earth, every nation, institution, they have certain set of beliefs, ideas that we might call foundational ideas. Remember, we have what's called the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That's how the United States of America started. You know, that was the foundation. And whoever came up with that idea, those are the people that are known as founding fathers. We know what our foundation is. You see, when you think about the Bible and you think about God's people, the Jewish people, God also gave them a foundation. You might know it as the law. God gave them the law to be a foundation by which upon which they will build their lives. This is God's statutes, God's ordinances. God's giving the Jewish community a foundation. Says this is how you will live for the rest of your life. God gave Moses the statutes, the laws by which Israel will live or behave. And it's interesting because they were supposed to pass that information, that ideal, from generation to generation. So every Jewish person will know exactly what we're all about. God gave us the statutes. He gave us the idea, the basic upon which are to live our lives. But it's interesting because I want to talk to us this morning, because you see that God already gave the foundation through Moses. Remember in chapter 19 of Exodus, Moses go to receive the tablets, the Ten Commandments. And you know, now you are a nation. And as a nation, this is the statutes. These are the rules by which you are to govern yourself. Now, there were other nations. Remember the Hittites, Jebusites, Canaanites. They have different foundation. But you, God's people, the Lord said, you be my people and I will be your God. This is the base. This is the foundation upon which you are to live. The law. That's what the Lord gave. Then, you know, later on in Judges, this is what struck me, because you have another generation that did not know the Lord. And my question is, how did that happen? When I know that through scripture, you were supposed to pass your knowledge, to pass the foundation from one generation to another. And there was a generation that grew up not knowing the Lord. Read with me in Judges chapter 2. That's right after the book of Joshua. Judges chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. Now, this is after the Israelites already went into the land of the promise. God already gave them the inheritance. Everybody's going to go to their own home, to their own lot. to enjoy the inheritance of the Lord. Listen to the words in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 6 through following. When Joshua dismissed the people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years. And they buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. Verse 11, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They served the Baals and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served Baals and the Ashtaroth. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them over to plunderers who plundered them, and he sold them into the hand of their surrounding enemies, so that they could no longer withstand their enemies. Whenever they marched out, the hand of the Lord was against them for harm, as the Lord had warned, and the Lord had sworn to them, and they were in terrible distress. Interesting, scripture says right there that the nation of Israel served the Lord. Another synonym for serve is they worshiped the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. Joshua, I love the name because not just the name, but he was a great leader. I always think about Joshua as the brave heart. You know, it's like, Joshua challenged the nation of Israel in Joshua 24 when he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, choose this day whom you will serve. Remember, 40 years in the wilderness, and finally they made it to the land, and it took Joshua to challenge the people, because up to that point, the people were being syncretistic. They were worshiping God, but they were also worshiping the other gods of the nations. And Joshua said, put him away, serve the Lord, yield your hearts to the Lord. Interesting enough, you see now in chapter 2 of Judges, it says after, you know, Israel served God throughout the lifetime of Joshua. And all the elders who outlived him. You see, verse 7 says that the generation of Joshua, they experienced the deliverance firsthand of the Lord. They witnessed God work on their behalf. They saw the Red Sea parted. They saw God fight on their behalf. They knew exactly what the Lord had done for them. You see, that generation of Joshua and those elders, they experienced the Lord firsthand. But then you see, bad news. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is that, and then another generation grew up who did not know the Lord, nor what the Lord had done. You see, you're only one generation away from not knowing God. Another generation grew up after Joshua and those elders were gone. Scripture says that there was another generation, verse 10. It says, and all the generation also were gathered to their fathers. That's Joshua's generation. He died at the age of 110. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. I don't know about you. When I read that, I struggle with it, that verse. Now, if you read that, it's like, oh, yeah, like you have no idea. But if you study the Jewish people and all the way from when God gave him the commandments to Moses and how things were supposed to be passed on from one generation to another, I ask myself, what's going on here? Why do we now have a generation that grew up not knowing Yahweh, not knowing God? What happened? I mean, Jewish people, I will be your God. You will be my people. Then after Joshua is gone, now the Israelites enjoy their inheritance. Everybody's going to their place and nobody knows the Lord. Nobody even knows what the Lord had done for Israel. I just find that hard to believe. What happened to the Israelites? What happened to the Jewish people? Why do we have a lost generation now in Israel? You notice that then Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They were doing whatever they thought to be right in their own eyes. Why a lost generation? Now, You might say this generation, because it was new, they did not get to experience God the same way that the Israelites, the Joshua generation did. Because remember, it was people that were 20 years and younger who made it to the promised land. And then Joshua was already 110. All the elders, all that generation that made it, they died. Now the kids of those parents, they grew up not knowing the Lord. And I keep asking myself, what happened? They didn't know the Lord, and it says, nor even what the Lord has done for Israel. Now, even though they did not know, or they did not witness the miracles firsthand, they should have known God. If the leaders had continued to renew the covenant, if the leaders had continued to remind them and tell the stories, because remember, it was tell to your children, and to your children, and to your generation, generation. But then now we have a generation, right after they are about to enjoy the inheritance, no more war, now we're experiencing peace, but then they did not know the Lord. And as a consequence, you see what happened. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. The whole book of Judges is that. It's almost, it said Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord just handed them over to plunderers. And, you know, Israel was in agony. And then God would raise up a judge to remind them. The judge would deliver them. But when the judge died, Israel will go back to evil again. And at one time, through the book of Judges, you have this phrase that says, Israel had no king. Everybody did whatever they thought it was fit in their own eyes. That's called relativism. Well, if it's right for you, just go ahead and do it. That was a time in the history of Israel, because they didn't have king. Joshua's generation, you don't hear any other leaders until you hear about some of the judges like Gideon, Samson, a woman named Deborah. And they were Israel's deliverer during that time. It's almost God sending a judge to remind them, I'm still here waiting for you, but you're still doing your own thing. You see, in chapter 2 already, we're introduced like another generation grew up who did not know the Lord. Now, I have three reasons that I find in the text why that's possible, that you have a generation that grows up not knowing the Lord. When I look at Joshua, he says, remember, Israel served God throughout the lifetime of Joshua. Wow, that would be beautiful. Like, your kids will know God through as long as you're alive. You know, because you introduce them to. Now, when you're gone, they might do something else. Israel served the Lord. They worshiped God throughout the lifetime of Joshua. And of the elders who outlived Joshua, those who were with Joshua, the leaders. But then when they were gone, another generation grew up who did not know the Lord. So why is that possible that you have a generation who grows up not knowing God? The first reason that I think is lack of leadership in Israel. Joshua and the elders are gone. Now you don't have a leader to come and challenge them and say, hey guys, what are you guys doing? This is not what the Lord tells us to do. We need strong leadership to encourage people. Joshua is the one who challenged Israel to put away all those man-made gods and yield their hearts to the Lord. You see, Moses was one of the greatest leaders. Moses never did that. Moses allowed the people to bring those idols with them to Canaan. And Joshua, before they went to enjoy the inheritance, Joshua said, put them away. Put them away. You're either going to serve ancestor gods, or you're gonna serve cultural gods. But as for me and my house, we're gonna serve Yahweh. Put those gods away. They're man-made. Joshua was the only one who challenged them. So Israel served the Lord during the lifetime of Joshua. But then after he's gone, then he became, well, whatever's right for you, just go ahead and do it. Sounds like in our time today. They forsook the command of the Lord that he had established. They abandoned the Lord. They abandoned the foundation because there was no leader to challenge them to go back. And then when you do a history of the kings of Israel, the same pattern. Some kings would tell people, no, we got to go back to Yahweh. Some kings like, well, yeah, just do whatever you want. So we're only one generation away from our kids to either know God or not. But you see, we're going to need strong leadership, just like in Israel, strong leadership in our churches, strong leadership in our homes, so that we don't get a lost generation tomorrow. They had abandoned the foundation because there was no leader to remind them to go back. Remember, the statues all the way from Exodus 19 was supposed to be passed on to generation. Pass that along. Now, lack of leadership, another reason that I find is the nation grew complacent. Complacency will make you forget God. Complacency will make you forget God. Why do I say that? Context. The Israelites already enjoyed the inheritance. There's no more war to fight. We have everything. You go to a land that the Lord said, you have cities that you did not build. You have produce that you did not work for. Everything is yours. So pretty soon it's like, listen to what the Lord said in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 14. Some of you who take notes. Deuteronomy 8, 7, it says, 6th verse, so you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of brooks of water and fountains of springs flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and of fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of the hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Check out verse 11. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and when you have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your hearts be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the gray and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground, and there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good and not evil. The nation of Israel grew complacent because everything was given to them. Remember, now you have a land, you have water, I mean, everything is scarcity. Everything is given to you. Now, makes sense why some of them is like, you know, you didn't have to fight for anything. Sometimes you think about the kids, like in our generation, like they feel entitled when everything is given to them. And a lot of times parents think that they're doing them a favor. You have to make them work for something, because otherwise they're going to have the attitude. And it's like, hey, you know, that's mine. And so they grew up complacent, and complacency will make you forget God. The Lord said, when you eat and are satisfied, don't forget the Lord. Israel forgot everything. You're not fighting wars anymore. Again, all the Hittites and Jebusites, they're gone. Now you just have prosperity in the land. They forgot the Lord. You got property, peaceful land, no enemies, no threat, nice homes. All those things they did not even have to work for. It was given to them. No wonder they grew self-centered and conceited. They forgot the Lord. You see, they had no time to review the laws and decrees that the Lord had given through Moses. The Israelites did evil. Go back now to Judges verse 11. 11 through 15. Judges chapter 2. Ten says that another generation grew up who did not know the Lord, nor what the Lord had done for Israel. And then verse 11, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They served the Baals, and they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord. How many times you hear that? They abandoned the Lord. They forsook the Lord and served Baals and Ashtaroth. Baal is a fertility god, as a male, and Ashtaroth is the female version of fertility gods. Man-made statues, you know, the Canaanites, all those other people around the land, they would do that. That was their foundation. The Lord said to Israel, don't be like them. But you see now, Israel is going serving the same gods that everybody else was serving around. Baals and Ashtaroth. Israel abandoned the Lord. Isn't that amazing? God made a covenant with Israel. I will be your God. You will be my people. Even though the whole earth is mine, to me, the Lord said, you'll be a treasure possession. If you keep my command, you will go well in the land. Now you have the inheritance. And because everything is given to them, they grew complacent and they forgot the Lord. And they served the other gods that everybody else around them was serving. But their action made the Lord angry. And God delivered them into the hands of plunderers. And Israel got plundered by raiders. But God still had mercy and compassion. He delivered them. So why do we have a lost generation in Israel? Lack of leadership in the in the nation. When the nation you don't have great leaders, people are just going to follow whatever seems good in their own eyes. Why do we have a lost generation? Because people grew complacent. They did everything else but renew the covenant. They did everything else but they did not remind themselves that everything that they had was because the Lord provided for them. They have forgotten the great provider, Yahweh. Now, why do we have a lost generation? I think also in part because parents' negligence. Because if you go with me to Deuteronomy 1:6. God told them that you're supposed to teach your kids so that they will know the Lord. So apparently those parents that grew up after Joshua, they did not teach their kids about what the Lord. They did not even tell the stories about what Yahweh had done for Israel. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. This is Moses talking. That you may do well in the land to which you are going over to possess it. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your sons and your son's son. There's a generation right there. By keeping all the statutes and commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lay down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on the gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. You shall fear him and you shall serve. And by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods. Listen, this is what, that was in Deuteronomy. You shall not go after other gods. And what did they do in Judges? Went after other gods. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God is kindled against you, and he destroy you from the face of the earth. Interesting, in Deuteronomy you have that many years before we get to Judges chapter 2. And what happened in Judges chapter 2? Very much what we reading here. Israel forgot the Lord. Another generation grew up who did not know the Lord. Why? Because lack of leadership in Israel. Joshua and all the elders are gone. Why? Because they grew up complacent. They have everything given to them. And why? Because some parents neglected to pass that along to their kids. I mean, they did not know the Lord, nor what the Lord had done. So the history was not reviewed. So you have the same foundation, a different generation. And that's what I call this the message this morning. Same foundation for a new generation. They forgot to provide that foundation for that generation, and that's why they grew up in Judges, and everybody did whatever. The foundation there was relativism. Boy, if it's right for you, that's fine. You know, that's the problem with relativism. There's no absolutes anymore. Because your absolute becomes what you think is right. And then we get in trouble very quickly. It's happening in our nation, by the way, in some regard. This idea of relativism. Like, well, if that's right for you, that's fine. It's like, you have to have a standard. And the standard is not going to be provided by the government. No, the standard has to be provided by somebody greater than ourselves. And it has to be God. That's why he gave him the laws. This is the foundation for you. And when you deviate from that, you will get in trouble very quickly. So God provided the foundation for his people, but they abandoned the Lord. They abandoned the foundation. Parents, for God to train their kids. You know, I mean, you read it in Proverbs. Train the kids in the way that he should go so that when they're older, they will not depart from them. And, you know, we try to build a foundation for the kids. You know, I grew up in the church. My family provided that foundation for me. So my job now is to provide a foundation for my kids. When they grow older, that's going to be on them. You know, but at least when I'm having them in my house, they know that the Lord is going to be a priority for us. They got to see that in us. Because, you know, they cannot say, well, my mom did not teach me about Jesus. My mom and dad never introduced me. You know, I don't want them to say that. So once they're adult, they're going to make choices, just like we see here. But God's going to hold them accountable for those choices. But you see the parents says, teach them to your kids. Tie them up. Everywhere that you remind yourself that is the Lord. Somewhere along the way, after Joshua and the elders was gone, people stopped doing that. And therefore, we have a generation who grew up not knowing the Lord. They did not even remember the stories. Nobody was talking about it. The nation of Israel, they failed to introduce children to the Lord. And as a result, they abandoned God. And God punished them through the raiders that came. You see, we don't want to lose the generation and the next. We must commit ourselves to instruct them to the Lord. See, that's what we have, you know, I mean, we have so many little ones now in our church, you know, but they're growing up, you know, going to Sunday school classes. Now, sometimes, you know, I grew up, I'm a preacher's kid. I remember, like, I don't want to go to class later on, you know, like teenagers, like, you know, but I didn't know what my mom and dad were doing. You know, now they're happy because I'm not giving them headaches in terms of like what I'm, he's out there doing his own thing. They know what I'm doing, you know, but think about, like, what happened to Israel can happen to any of us. When we lack the leadership in our homes, when we lack, or when we grow complacent, like everything is going to be all right. No, everything will not be all right. You have to, you know, to do something about it. Like, you know, people say it takes a village to raise a child. The village that we're growing up right now, I don't want to raise my kids in that village. I want it to be my responsibility to say, no, this is what we do. You know, the Lord has to be our priority. Impressing upon the children. Talk about them at home. You know, even when you read stories to the kids. So that when they grow up, they remember the Lord. At least they know the stories. I was asked, if God is not evident in us parents, what makes us think that he's going to be evident in our kids? If God is not a priority in us, what makes us believe that he's going to be a priority for our next generation? Jesus is called the firm foundation. And we had to introduce our generation to Jesus. There was a father who was interviewed. You know, you can read statistics. You can go into the surveys and polls. It's believed. And, you know, in our society, in America specifically, you know, we have churches, we have youth group, and we try our best to, you know, to instruct our kids and things. But something was happening throughout the years that, you know, kids, once they leave churches, when they go to college, because they're challenged by new ideologies in colleges, they kind of like, their faith is gone. You know, but people, you know, churches, pastors, everybody tries to figure out what are we doing wrong that, you know, once we let our kids go on their own, they stop following Jesus. You know, and think about that. It's happening and will continue to happen. And then this father was being interviewed. Because, you know, I'm concerned because, yeah, like, you know, we get them there. They're still at home, they're junior high school. But then they go to college and now it's like their faith is gone. Why? This father came up with the answer. And when he said that, it hit me. And I was like, this is what he said. He said, you know, for a long time, you know, I realized I introduced my kid to church. I failed to introduce him to Jesus. A lot of times we introduce our kids to church activities, church programs, but are they really getting to know Jesus through those activities? Because you have activities in a church that is not prompting to make those kids disciples and make them understand who Jesus is. Those activities are useless. That's why I always tell people, like, okay, you have a lot of activities and things, but when they go to college, now worldview, now you have this ideology about that. I mean, in a society, people growing up, they don't believe, they don't know if they're male or female. I mean, think about that for a moment. And it's like, really? And so, and the kid's like, well, I don't know. And it's like, yeah, you should. Yes, you should know already. But it's like, because all they think, they're getting bombarded. And we Christians, sometimes we don't know how to respond to that. And then, you see, it causes us to realize we have to dive deeper into that. We have to tell people, no, you need a foundation. Because my friends, if we fail to give our kids a Christian foundation, someone will give them a different one in the society we're in. If they grow up not knowing the Lord. And Jason tells a story that he was coaching a whole bunch of football guys. And he said, hey, what do you guys believe? And someone's like, oh, I don't know. They don't know. Oh, they're growing up not knowing anything. And it's like, because, you know, sometimes we let the video games to raise our kids or something else. Like, we have to take the responsibility because, you know, we don't want the generation to get lost. I want my kids to get to know Jesus so that when I get grandkids, they also get to know Jesus. You start building the foundation, buying a little Bible over there, you know, and tell the stories about, you know, Zacchaeus and Jesus. I mean, you start by doing that and keep on doing it. Now, also, the kids, they're older now. They see mom and dad here at church. They know that for you guys, that's still a priority. Yes, when they're older, they're going to make their own choices. You build a foundation for them. What's happening is they don't want to place their lives or build their lives upon that foundation. They cannot blame you, mom and dad, because you're still in church. Church always been a priority for you. Now they're older. You know, when they're older, they make their own choices about the foundation. But you did your job. And I commend you for that because you're still in church. You're still telling. They know that Jesus is important to you. Jesus, the foundation stone. And I think the greatest thing that I can do for my kids is build that foundation for them, that they grew up knowing Jesus. You know, usually kids, when we're growing up in a Christian home, their faith becomes our parents. It's not ours yet. It's just we believe because my mom and dad, you know. But eventually that faith has become yours. Because you're not going to go to heaven because mom and dad are Christian. You had to make the decision. Once you're an adult, you pass 18. I'm about to have an 18-year-old daughter. Wow. But, you know, they had, you know, we talk about these things. Because, you know, sometimes she will ask me, what are you preaching about? I say, Jesus. So, you know what I mean? But, like, she wants to know and things. And, you know, I love it when she comes home. It's like, because she had a debate with somebody about, and, you know, and sometimes she has some of her friends, but call a pastor and talk about it. So that's awesome that she's having this, because she's going to go to college and mom and dad, we won't be around there, you know, to shelter them and things. And it's like, you got to let them go eventually. And we pray that they still remember the foundation that we built for them. I mean, that's a beautiful thing that, you know, that they know that still mom and dad, they believe in Jesus. They go to church. They're involved in the church. I'm the one that's stubborn. I'm the one like these Israelites. Everything was given to me and like, you know. They can never say, well, my mom and dad never. No, they did. You are a man. You're a woman now. And you're making those choices. Now, the question for those kids will be, when you get kids, when you have kids of your own, what are you going to introduce them to? You know, that father says, you know, I fail with my own child because I introduce him to church, not to Jesus. Which means not because you're in church doesn't mean you know Jesus. You know, and I think that's been happening for 20 years in America. We have youth ministries and hear me out, because not all of them are bad. But sometimes all they do is play games with the kids. And well, things, but that's not a lesson about who is Jesus. Why should we believe those things? What kind of foundation? You know, you only play games in fellowship. When you're challenging college, you're going to go with whoever, you know, whoever's offering you a better preposition. My wife can testify. She always said that she had a youth ministry that worked. No, yeah, we play games, so now it's time for the lesson. You know, for a lot of time, youth ministry became just like hangout time. And the kids, oh, yeah, look, it's a club. That's not building a foundation. You know, in college, I ended up taking youth groups to ICTC, you know, Illinois Christian Teen Convention, and things. You know, awesome. But then later on, it's like, okay, we just come here and we just enjoy each other's company, playing games. But what was the lesson? You asked the kid, what was the lesson about? I don't know. And I realized, why are we taking those trips? We're not building a foundation for our kids. They're going to grow up like that lost generation of Israel. Well, I don't remember. It's like, so I realized something in our society, in our churches, they had to go back into more like going back to the basic. You know, that kids know, like, this is the gospel. And this is not the gospel. This is what the Lord says. And this is not what the Lord says. That they get to know Jesus. And it starts right there in the churches. That when they grow, they know, like, yes, we can play some games, but we have a time for the lesson now. Because this is truly more important, that you grow up knowing the Lord. After Joshua and the elders were gone, another generation grew up who did not know the Lord. You see, we're not going to be here forever. You know, and that's what I'm saying. Like, as long as I'm the preacher of Staten Island Christian Church, we're going to go back. We're going to be preaching the Word of God. Now, when I'm gone, if you get somebody else, I don't know what might happen. But you also have to understand, like, no, you're going to come here and preach the Word. Not your ideas, not your opinions. You got to preach the Word of God. And we have so many preachers today preaching something else but Jesus. And you wonder why we have people growing up and they don't even know the Lord. We have a same foundation that God gave this life, same foundation for the new generation. Jesus had to be that cornerstone. Jesus said, you build your house on the rock and the winds will come and all kinds of things. And it's going to attack you, but you will not fall because you will solidly plant it on the foundation. You said you build a foundation by listening and doing what I'm telling you. The greatest inheritance that I think I can give my kids is that they develop a relationship with Jesus. You know, yeah, they might love sports and things like that, but I think for me, the greatest joy is that they continue to, you know, I don't need your side to be a preacher. But if the Lord calls him, that'd be up to him. But at least that whatever, if he's an athlete, that he still had Christian values. Like sometimes you hear those people talking about Jesus, even when they're interviewed, and you wonder, who did that? Mom. Many of the NBA players, you never hear, oh, my dad, the mother was the one who cared. And now they have Christian values. It's like, she did a great job. Even as a single mom, to introduce those kids so they can have good, they can be good citizens in the land. And they still, even when they're being interviewed, they're giving praises to God. Even a Christian perspective in their lives, even though they're making tons of money, somebody did a great job. Somebody built a foundation for that athlete. Timothy can relate to that. Timothy was raised by his mom and grandmother. And Paul says, wow, I can see your faith that was first in your mom and your grandmother. And now it's in you. So passing that along from one generation to another. Will your kids grow up knowing the Lord? They can. But we have a lot of work to do for them. Let's introduce them to Jesus. Not necessarily to an activity that they enjoy. Yes, that's awesome. Have fun. But let's not fail to introduce them to Jesus, because we want a generation with the same foundation. Would you pray with me this morning?